Okay, today's daf, Bez Hashem, is Avodah Zarah, daf Chaf. We are holding on daf Yutes and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Yutes and Beis. Here she is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So the Mishnah is going to talk about making things for Avodah Zarah and selling Mechubar LaKarka to Ovdei Kochavim. The Gemara is going to talk about the three Isurim of Lo Seichanim, that even though it's one pasuk, it alludes to three different isurim. We're going to have machlokas tanayim, whether you're allowed to gift nevela to a nachri, because the pasuk describes how if you have a nevela, you can't eat it, but rather legera shabisharecha titanena va'achala o machor lenachri. Well, can you be no sane lenachri? Is that an option? Then the Gemara is going to talk about the isur to complement an Ovid Kuchavim, and why it is that Mishum Gamliel seems to have violated that Isser in a story that we're going to detail. The Gemara is then going to give us the details of the Isser to look at women's clothing, because the story of Mishum Gamliel relates to him complimenting the beauty of a woman. So we'll have a little bit about the Isser of his Staklus. So the Gemara is then going to discuss how it is that the Malach HaMavis carries out his executions. And then we'll have in the middle of Amud Beis the famous price of Rav Pinchas ben Yair that forms the foundation of the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. And then we'll have toward the end of the daf three cases that the same Tanayim argue whether you can sell something attached to the ground on condition that it be cut. That even when you're not allowed to sell Mechubar LaKarka, there's Machlok Tanayim. What if I'm selling that which is Mechubar with the Tanai that it be cut from the ground? So we're going to have three different cases and we'll discuss why we need all three cases. And then the last little piece before the Mishnah on Beis is going to be whether you can sell a behema gasa to a guy with the condition that he shechts that behema gasa. So let's begin again. We are holding daf yotesam beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Ve'inos and tachshitin avodas chavim. You're not allowed to make jewelry for an avodas zara. Katlaos mezamim v'tabaos. You're not allowed to make necklaces or chokers and nose rings and rings. Rabbi Lezer omer b'schar muter. Rabbi Lezer says the isser is only if you're doing it for free. But if you get paid, then you're allowed to make it because it's not really the Avodah Zarah that you're making, it's just extra decorations for the Avodah Zarah. Now we're going to have a Mishnah at the very end of Amud Beis that's going to tell us that you're not allowed to sell karka to a guy, and there's a machlokas in where that iser is, so the where you're not allowed to sell karka to the guy. So now our Mishnah has a machlokas tanaim whether you're allowed to sell them something that is mechubar lekarka, presuming that you're in a location where you're not allowed to sell them karka. Does mechubar lekarka count as karka? So ein mochel lehem b'mechubar lekarka. You're not allowed to sell them peros or grain that is still mechubar lekarka, because anything that's mechubar lekarka is considered to be karka, and therefore if you're not allowed to sell karka, you're not allowed to sell mechubar lekarka. Aval mochel mishayi kotzeitz. But you could sell it to them once you already cut it down. Rabbi Yehuda omer mocher hu al menas lekotz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have to wait till you actually do the ketzitza in order to sell it to them. You can even sell it to them on the condition that they be kotzeitz. Now, l'chor, it's a davar pasha that you're allowed to sell them something that is already niktzas, because that's not mechubar lekarka anymore. So the shita of the Tanakama is a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, why does the Tanakama have to tell me, oh, avol mochru mishayi kotzeitz? Well, guess what? If it's mishayi kotzeitz, it's not mechubar lekarka anymore, and then there's no shaila. So what kind of a chiddush is that? So the Rishonim are all bothered by that kasha, and the Rashba writes that the chiddush is that only after the ketzitza are you allowed to sell it, but prior to that you're not allowed to sell it, even though it's al das that he's going to be kotzeitz. Meaning it's essentially preempting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and saying, I know Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you that even when it's mechubar, if you know that it's going to be niktzas, that's good enough, but you should know that we don't paskin that way, right? That is the Tanakhama saying we don't paskin that way, whereas the Ritva says that the Tana is being mechadesh, that we don't assume that the ilan becomes that we're going to ask or an ilan that's katzut because of a chashash that you might come to sell that same tree when it's still mechubar. Meaning the hava amina would be that even when it's katzut, it's it's going to be aser, a gezera atu mechubar. So the Tanakam is telling me we make no such gezera of atu mechubar. So and there are other approaches in Rishonim as well. But anyway, says the Gemara, minani mili, how do I know, from where do I know that you're not allowed to sell mechubar lekarka to an ovid kachavim? So this opens up the sugya of lo sechanim. Amr Rabbi Yosef Barachanin, Rabbi Yosef Barachanin says, because the pasuk says, ki yivyacha, the pasuk says, read the beginning of the pasuk, ki yivyacha, Hashem elkach l'aretz asharat v'sham l'rishta, v'nashu goyim rabbi mipanecha, lo sikrus lehem abris, v'lo sechanim. The pasuk says, you're not allowed to be sechanim when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you're not allowed to make a covenant or treaty with them. So what does that mean? Lo sitin lehem chanoya bakarka. You're not allowed to give them a place of to live and to be and to own the karka, even though and even selling them that which is mechubar lekarka runs afoul of that isra of chanoya bakarka. So says Gemara, hay lo sechanim mi bayilei dachik amrachman lo sitin lehem chein. I thought lo sechanim teaches us a different isra, that you're not allowed to give them chein. Literally meaning which would mean that you're not allowed to give them a compliment. You're not allowed to say that this Ovid Kochavim is beautiful, is talented, is this or that. That's the reason, that's the Isra of Lo Sechanim. The reason that would be Asr, the Ran writes, is a Gezer Shami Yamashe Chacharav, that if we're too complimentary of the Ovid Kochavim, you might want to be like the Ovid Kochavim. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud, writes that that's... it causes one to have a dveikos with the Ovid Kochavim, and ultimately to learn from his lifestyle, to learn from his ways. And he says it's usher to be mesaper b'shivcho or b'shevach ma'asav for that reason. Now let us speak about the great things that he does and how great he is for that reason. The Sefer Achinuch likewise in Mitzvah Tavchavav says that it's natural that a person is nimshach achar machshavaso v'diburo, that if a person thinks highly of something and speaks highly of something, he ends up wanting to be that thing, or to be closer to that thing, and therefore one is not allowed to be nosalem chayin to an ovid kachavim. But be that as it may, the Gemara's question is, how can you tell me that lo sechanim means you're not allowed to give them chanoya bekarka? Don't we already use lo sechanim to tell me that lo sitin lem chayin? So says Gemara, im kain, if it was only about giving compliments, then le makra lo sechunim, then it should have said lo sechunim with a shuruk, because that would imply chanino or chayin. My lo sechanim, shma minata ptarti, from the fact that it formulates it as lo sechanim, tells me that there's a second limud that you can make from this pasuk. So, and that second limud is that you can't give them chanoya bakarka. So, frankly, Gemara batvakati mi bayile, but I still need this pasuk for a third thing. Dachyam rachmana, lo sitin lahem, matano shalchinam, that you're not allowed to give a free gift to Ovid Kochavim. The Gemara in Gittin says that you're allowed to be, we're mefarnis aniye akum im aniye Yisrael, together with Aniye Yisrael Mishum Darkei Shalom, that for the sake of Darkei Shalom we're Mefarnes Aniye Yaakov with Aniye Yisrael. So the question begs itself, how can you say that you're not allowed to give them a matnas chinam? Apparently we even give them tzedakah. So apparently tzedakah is an exception to that rule, that if it's an Ovid Kochavim who is not poor, so then there is no heter to give a matana shel chinam, to give a free gift. So the Gemara's kasha is, how can you tell me that there are two limudim to be made from Lo Sechanim, and therefore I can learn not to give chein nor chanoya bakarka, but I already use Lo Sechanim to teach a different limud, which is not to give matnas chinam. So says Gemara, im kein, if it was only teaching those two things, le makra Lo Sechinim, which would imply matnas chinam, my Lo Sechanim shvam yakulu, it teaches all three drashos, the Yisra of chanoya bakarka, from the fact that it could have said lo sachanim, the isra of nesina schein, from the fact that you could read it as lo sechunim, and the isra of giving matanos from the fact that you could read it as lo sechinim, meaning there are no vowels in the Torah, there are no dots in the Torah, and since this pasuk could be read with three different vowelizations if you wanted to, and each vowelization would mean a different one of these drushos, so we're able to make this drush as if all of the vowelizations were correct. So Tanya Namiachi, we have a brisa that says just like this, Lo Sechanim That identifies all three of these yisurim within that phrase of lo sechanim. So says Gemara, matnas chinam gufa, the very isur of giving a matnas chinam to novi chavim tanoi, he is really a machlokas tanoim. Titanio, because we have a bris that says lo sochul kolam v'garishu b'shrach dinen v'achala omachar l'nachri, that if a person has a nevela, how would you end up with a nevela? You shechted an animal and you messed up. So you messed up the shechita. So you have a nevela. So what are you supposed to do with it now? You can't eat it. So you give it as a matana to a ger toshav, or you sell it to a nachri. That's what the Torah tells us to do. When it says leger asher b'shrecha titnena, it clearly means a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a guy who's mekabel sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, and he's called a ger toshav because you're allowed to let him live in Eretz Yisrael. When Yad Yisrael is tekifa, normally when the Jewish people control Eretz Yisrael, we're not supposed to allow a nachri to live in Eretz Yisrael unless he accepts upon himself to be mekayim all the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. So part of being a ger toshav is that we have a mitzvah lahachyoso, right? We have to v'chayimach, right? It says v'chzakta bo ger toshav, ger v'toshav v'chayimach. So we have a mitzvah lahachyoso, we're supposed to support him. So he has no isra of eating nevela, it's not one of the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. So when we have a nevela, we should give it to him. Let him have it. Let him have dinner. Let him have a nice steak for dinner. Say, ein li ela l'ger b'nesina. I would only know that you could give it as a matana to a ger, ulovid chavim b'mechir, or that you could sell it to an ovid chavim l'ger b'mechir minayin. How do I know you're even allowed to sell it to a ger toshav? Tavalom or titnena omachar. That's why it says titnena omachar. Meaning the way you could read the pasuk is losoch l'kal nevela. Don't eat any nevela l'ger asher b'sharecha titnena v'achala omachar. Period. And leave off the last word l'nachri. Meaning you could re-punctuate the pasuk. And therefore it sounds like it's saying to the ger toshav, either give it as so he'll eat it or sell it to him. So lovid chavim ben nesina minayin. How do I know that you're allowed to even give it to an ovid chavim for free? Tamalomer titnena va'achala omachar l'nachri. You could repunctuate the pasuk in the other direction. Start the phrase after the word l'ger asher b'sharecha and just read titnena va'achala omachar l'nachri, that you can give it to be eaten or sell it to a nachri, that either of those options are viable. So nimtatomer echad ger brachah ovid chavim bein ben nesina bein ben mechira divra meir. So a meir holds that you have both options with both categories of people. If you have a nevela, you can either give it or sell it to either a ger toshav or a nachri, and there's no problem apparently of giving it to a nachri. If the Torah wanted to only be matir mechira the nachri and nesina leger, the Rashi points out it should have said titnena va'achala leger asher b'shrecha oh machar l'nachri, meaning instead of a 1-2-2-1 format, it should have been 1-2-1-2, meaning identify person, what you do, next person, what you do, or what you do, person, what you do, person, but it should not have person, what you do, person, right? So the fact that the Torah set it up in that way, it's Dafka setting it up so that you can read it in this way that you're, that either option is available to you for either person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Dvarim Kiksavan, Leger B'nesina, L'Chavim B'mechira, that it's as it's written, that you're only allowed to give it for free to a ger, you are not allowed to give it for free to an Oved Chavim, it must be sold to an Oved Kochavim. Now Rashi, Maseches Pesachim and Daf Chaf Aleph, right, said according to Rabbi Yehuda, these are two different halachos. Number one, that you're not allowed to give it to an Oved Chavim, and number two, you're not allowed to sell it to a ger. The ger toshav, it must be for free. You cannot sell it to a ger toshav. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, but he says, you're allowed to sell it to a ger, meaning the main point is that you're not that it's a violation of Lo Sechanim to gift it for free to the Oved Chavim, but you want to sell it to a ger, there's not going to be an iser to sell it to a ger. L'chora, the best raya for the Shitas HaRambam is that, do you really mean to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to give a ger toshav an advantage that you wouldn't give a Yisrael? Meaning, you're allowed to sell things to a Yisrael, right? So when there's no Yisrael, no, you're allowed to sell things to a Jew. No, but for a ger toshav, I got to give things for free. Meichitesi, if you're allowed to sell things to a Jew, you're not going to be allowed to sell things to a ger toshav. So anyway, that's the Shitas Rambam. But either way, what Rabbi Yehuda is for sure saying is that you're allowed to gift it to an Ovid Kochavim. So it says, Shapir Kamer Rameir, Lechor Rameir is a good point that you could read the pasuk with the punctuation position differently, and the fact that the pasuk set it up in an ABBA format, isn't that a raya? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Isal Kadaitach Kidukam Rav Meir. If you want to say like Rav Meir is saying, that you could punctuate the pasuk in a way where the Mechira and the Nesina are both going on the Ger, and the Mechira and the Nesina are both going on the Yovid Kachavim, well then Lichtov Rachmana, the Torah should have said, Titanana Va'achala Umachar, that it should have said, to give it and sell it, Lenachri, or whatever. So, O Lamali, why does it have the word O right in the middle? Shmamina Lidvarm Kiksavanu Da'asa, the word O must be dividing the two options of Mechira and Nesina, and saying that Mechira is the option that you take with a Nachri, and Nesina is the option you take with a Ger Toshav. Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir will say, no, I know that there's a word O in the Pasuk, and it's teaching me something else. Ha'lagdume Nesina Deger LeMechira David Chavim. That's telling me that we prefer you to give it to a Ger Toshav. It's a greater mitzvah to give it to a Ger Toshav than to sell it to an Ovid Chavim. Even though both of them are options and they're both mutter, we'd rather that you give it to a Ger Toshav. And that's what the word O is doing over there. That's it's not saying that you should be maktim nesina b'matan leger before selling it to a meaning there are different interpretations of Rishonim over here. Some of the Rishonim say that it's telling me that we'd rather you the ikar mitzvah is to give it to a ger. It's only if there's no ger that you can sell it to a nachri. So the ger should always come before the nachri, meaning you want to make sure it ends up in the hands of the ger, because the ger toshav we have a mitzvah to support. We don't have that same mitzvah to support an ovid kochavim. For Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would respond, kiven the ger to mitzvah lachyoso, kanani yata mitzvah lachyoso, lachtem l'tzarek kra. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need a word O in the pasuk to tell me that it's more important to support the ger toshav than to make sure that the ovid kochavim has dinner that night. That's a pasuk. We have a mitzvah lachyoso. It's a pasuk in the Torah, v'chei imach, that you have a mitzvah to allow the ger toshav to live with you. So I don't need the word O to tell me that. Elamai, what's the word O? Therefore, it's there to teach me that the only option you have with the Novid Chavim is Mechira, and the option with the Ger Toshav is Nesina. Dover Acher, we said another interpretation of what Lo Sechana means, is Lo Sechana Lo Ziten Lam Chein, that you shouldn't give them any Chein, you shouldn't give any compliments. Meseye Le Rav, and this is a Raya to Rav, Dover Rav, Asalot Mishiomer, Kamano, Vodz Chavim Zo, that you're not allowed to say, how beautiful is this Ovedes Kochavim, in the Rif and the Rosh, the Gir says, Kamano, Oved Kochavim Ze, and that's how we have it in Mesech Zerichin also. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that the Gemara would rather speak Balash and Nekeva, because usually women are praised for their beauty much more than men are. So if you're going to describe Kamana'a, so it's more likely that you're describing a woman than you would to be describing a man. So Meisvei, so they ask, really you're not allowed to say Kamana'a Vodz Chavim Zu? But what about the following? One time Ram Shem Gamliel was on a pedestal up in the Arabayis, V'ro'o Ovedes Chavim Machas Nabi Yosir, and he saw a particularly beautiful Ovedes Chavim Omar, and he said, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem, how amazing are God's, is God's handiwork. Rabbi Akiva Ra Ishis Turnus Rav Sarasha, and when Rabbi Akiva saw the wife of Turnus Rav Sarasha, Rok Sachak Ubacha, he spit, he laughed, and he cried. So why did he do each of those things? Rok Shaisaba Mitipas Rucha, he spit because she came from a putrid drop. Sachak Dasida Demigaira Vinasavla, he laughed because he saw that he was going to have the last laugh, she was going to convert, and he was going to marry her. And Bacha Dai Shufra Baliafra, and he cried because this great remarkable beauty is one day going to be buried in the ground, just like everybody is one day going to be buried in the ground. But bottom line is, we see that both Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva remarked or noticed or complimented the beauty of an Ovid Chavim. Really, the Ikar Kasha is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Akiva, we don't see that he said anything. He was just he just did things that indicated that he noticed the beauty, but not that he actually was Nosin Lem Chein, that he said anything. He never explained why he did these things. He just did these things, and the Gemara is explaining why he did these things. But the Ikar Kasha, Rav Shimon Gamliel actually said, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem when he saw a beautiful Ovedas Kochavim. Now, the story with Rabbi Kiva and Eshes Turnus Rufus is a bigger story. It's a longer story. The Ran in Nedarim, Adaf Nunam Beis, and Tosos in Nedarim tells a more elaborate version of the story. That what happened was Turnus Rufus HaRasha would fight all these, he would have all these debates with Rabbi Akiva about Torah in front of the Kesar, and Rabbi Akiva would always win. And one time when he went back home, humiliated after he was defeated, yet again by Rabbi Akiva, his wife said to him, the God of these people hates Znus, so give me Rishus and I'll be machshil him in Znus, and that will be the way, your way to defeat him. She came up with this plan to defeat him. So he gave her Rishus, and she went in front of Rabbi Akiva, all dressed up, all decked out, and when Rabbi Akiva saw her, this was his reaction: Yarak, Tzachak, Ubacha. So that was the rest of the story, and he agreed to explain to her the reason that he spit, because she came from a Tipa Srucha. He explained to her the reason that he cried, because it was going to be this beauty was going to be ultimately buried in the ground one day. But he would not explain to her why he laughed, because it would take away her Bechira Chafshis to be Megayer and marry him. So he didn't reveal to her that part of the story. So he just did it without explaining it to her. Now, from the Lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like the Kasha was only on Rav. L'chora, meaning because the Gemara is going to answer, V'rav, let's see the answer of the Gemara first. V'rav, Rav, who asers being Meshabeach and Ovad Tzchavim, holds that Ram Gamliel was not trying to be Meshabeach the Ovad Tzchavim, he was just giving Odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making something so beautiful. It might as well have been the Grand Canyon. It wasn't praising her, it was praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tamar, Haro, Brios Tavos, Omer, Baruch Shem. When one sees beautiful creatures, you say Baruch Shekach Alo Ba'olamo. In fact, Tosus points out that the Yerushalmi says even if it's a beautiful animal, you say Baruch Shekach Alo Ba'olamo. So it wasn't about complimenting her; it was about complimenting Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But again, from the fact that the Gemara answers Virav, and how's Rav going to respond to what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel did, sounds like the whole kasha was only on Rav. L'chora, it shouldn't have only been a kasha on Rav. The bright said Lo Sitin Lam Chayin. The Brisa said you're not allowed to give compliments. So it should have been a steer in Brisas, that we have one Brisa that says Lo Sitin Lam Chayin, and another Brisa that says Rav Shlomo Gamliel did that. So that's what it should have been. So Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Masechta Avodah Zarah, Avodas Avoda, says that there's room to say that Brisa was only talking about the Shiva Umos, where the Pasuk says Lo Sichanim, and that's in fact what somebody showed him old, whereas the Maisa of Rav Shlomo Gamliel was by someone else, not from the Shiva Umos. So the Gemara is only asking on Rav, because Rav says you're not allowed to say Kama Noa Nachrizeh Ovedas Kochavim Zu, not just from the Shiva Umos, any Nachris, anyone from who's not Jewish, apparently you're not allowed to say it about. So that we have a Kasha from Rav Shlomo Gamliel. Rav Shlomo Gamliel would not have been a Kasha just on the Braisa, because the Braisa might have only been talking about the Shiva Umos. So frak the Gemara, but wait, this whole story is so strange. Rav Shlomo Gamliel sees the beauty of a woman and he's praising it. Ulistakuli Mishari, are you allowed to be Mistakel at a woman? So Meisve, but I'll ask you a stira, because the pasuk says v'nishmartem kol davara, that one has to guard himself from kol davara shelo yisakel adam bisha na'av afilu penuya be'ish esish v'afilu micho eres. One is not allowed to look at a beautiful woman even if she's single, and nor at an eish esish even if she's unattractive, v'lo bebigdei tzeva shel isha, nor at nice clothing of a woman, v'lo bechamor v'lo bechamor v'lo bechazir v'lo bechazir v'lo bofes b'zman shenizkakon lezel lezeh, nor different types of animals when they are mating with one another, and even if a person is full of eyes like the Malach HaMavis, that that he's not able to close all of his eyes at one time, the Amru Alav al Malach HaMavis, once we mention the Malach HaMavis, the Brisa sort of goes off on a tangent and says, you know what they say about the Malach HaMavis, Shekula Malay Einayim, that is, he's full of eyes, B'shas Pitiroso Shel Chola, when the Chola is time to die, Omin Me'al Marashosav, he stands over the head of the Chola, Charbo Shlufa Biyado, and he has a sword drawn in his hand, the tipa shel mara tuliyabo, and there's a tipa of poison at the end of the sword, kivan shel chola roa, so when the chola sees him, mizdazeo pasech piv, he trembles a little bit and opens his mouth, vizorkel letoch piv, and that little bit of poison gets thrown into the mouth at that time, mimena mace, and it's that tipa that kills the chola, mimena masuyech, and it's that tipa that causes the body to decompose, mimena panamarikos, and it's that that tipa that causes the face to lose its complexion after it dies. So you see, though, in the Braisa that you're not allowed to be mistakel at a woman. So how could it be that Rav Shimon Gamliel was mistakel at a woman? So says Mar Karen Zavis Havai. He wasn't planning on it. He just ran into her, and he couldn't avoid it. Now it should be pointed out that there is a difference between being mistakel and being roeh. Right. The greatest riot to that is the halacha of a rainbow. When you see a rainbow, the halacha is you're supposed to say a bracha. And by the way, there's halacha you're not allowed to be mistakel at a rainbow. Great. So when am I supposed to say the bracha if I'm not allowed to be mistakel at a rainbow? Right. You're also not supposed to tell people that there's a rainbow because it's a bad omen. Rainbow is a sign that Kadosh Baruch Hu really would like to bring another marble onto the world. But how do you reconcile the issue to be mistakel with the requirement to say a bracha? Because mistakel means to look with the intent of getting pleasure from, of enjoying. Whereas roa means that you happen to glance, you happen to see something out of the corner of your eye. There's an issue to be mistakel at ishto nida, when a woman is a nida, her husband is not allowed to be mistakel and not at any at parts of her body that are normally covered. It means he's not allowed to see at all. If he catches a glimpse out of the corner of his eye, he just cannot look. He should turn away. One of my talmidim thought, I guess his wife learned in kala classes, that whenever she changes her clothing, he has to sit there with his eyes tightly shut the entire time. And he's like, it's really uncomfortable because she takes forever to get dressed, and I'm sitting here with my eyes tightly shut for like many minutes in a row. Do I really need to do that? I'm like, you could also leave the room or just not look, right? You don't need to be sitting there with you. There are other etzas. It's just an issue to be mistakel. If he happens to see, you see, but not to be mistakel. But anyway, so the Gemara tells us, once we quote this Braisa about not even looking at women's clothing, V'lo b'bigdei tzeva shalisha, Amar Avidom Shmuel, Avidom Shmuel had a comment about that, V'alafilu shtuchen al gabi kosel, even if it's just hanging in the closet, meaning even if it's just hanging on a wall, and she's not wearing it right now, you're not even allowed to be mistakel at the clothing. Amar of Papa, over makir balein, but that's only if you know the woman who it belongs to, so you're picturing in your mind what it looks like on that woman. Amar Rav Dekanami, and Rav says it's meduyik this way, Dekatani, V'lo b'bigdei It says lo bigdei tzeva shel isha. It doesn't just say you're not allowed to look at nice clothing. It means nice clothing of a particular woman who you recognize and know and will picture in your mind's eye what she looks like in that clothing. So shema mina. So therefore we see that that's what it's referring to. This iser to be mistakel a bigdei isha when you know who the owner of the clothing is only if it's clothing that she's already worn. Because then there's a chashash that you'll be maharer when you see her again in that clothing. But if it's brand new clothing that she's never worn, then there's no iser to be mistakel at the clothing, even though you know who the owner of the clothing is. There's no chashash here if she has never yet worn it. How do I know that? Dilote malachi, because if you don't say that, anan manala ashpure hechi avino nakamistakel. How can a tailor ever do his job? Right? You're going to give him clothing to tailor, and he's not allowed to look at it. He's not allowed to do it because no, but if it's brand new and it needs to be tailored to fit her properly, so then he can tailor the clothing because she had not yet worn it. Ulitaimeich, wait, according to your sheet of the Gemara says that's not such a great raya. The whole reason that you're allowed to give it to a cleaner. The whole reason you're allowed to give it to him is because they're brand new clothing, but if there was a chashash here, it would be usher to give it to him. Hadam Rav Yehuda, that which Rav Yehuda says when it comes to mating animals, that min bimino mutula hachnis kemachol Shvoferes, that when it comes to mating your own animals so that you can be an effective farmer who has a larger flock, that you're allowed to actually physically, manually mate them with one another. How come mistakel? But didn't we say that there's an issue to be mistakel at animals that are mating? And over here we see the farmer is allowed to mate them actually manually. Isn't that a violation of being mistakel? So what's the, how do we reconcile, how do we solve that problem? We assume he's doing his job, and when he's doing his job, he's not going to have hirhurim. So that's the heter for doctors and things like that. That when he's doing his work, we assume that there's not going to be hirhurim. So over here also, when it's a cleaner or a tailor or something like that, when he's doing his job, he's not going to have hirhurim. So you don't need to say this chilik between new clothing and old clothing, or it's not necessarily a raya to the chilik between new clothing and old clothing. Now, in that braisa that spoke about the Yisra being mistakel, we also mentioned a little bit about the malachamaves. So Amar Mar, we had said, mimenemes, that little tipa that comes off the edge of the sword of the Malach HaMaves is what kills a person. So name of pligad avod Shmuel, this seems to be against avod Shmuel, meaning Tamar Avod Shmuel, because Avod Shmuel said, Amar li Malach HaMavis, I had a conversation with the Malach HaMavis, and he told me, Ilo de Chayashin liyakrim de Briyasa, if not for the fact that I was worried about Kovid Abrios, have a parana beis hashchita kebehema. I would rip open the neck of the person that I'm killing like a behema, and it's only because of Kovid Abrios that I don't do that. So it sounds like he kills a person by cutting the neck, and not by dropping something inside. So says Gemara, Dilma Yitipa, Mechad Chil Simanim. Maybe that's what that tipa does, that it drops inside the neck and it burns out the windpipe and the food pipe. So it says Gemara, Mimena Masriach, the Brisa also said that's where decomposition of the body comes from. Misayel and Rabbi Chanin Bar Kana, Dom Rabbi Chanin Bar Kana Amri Bei Rav, Harotz Shlo Yasriach Meso Yavchenu Al Panav. If you want the body not to decompose quickly and not to smell, you flip it over on its face, because hopefully then the sirchon comes from the mouth, because that's where the tipa went into. So hopefully then it'll be face down. You're not going to have that same smell. You're not going to have that foul odor if you flip the mace on his stomach. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa that we said that a person should avoid having hirhurim during the day, so that he doesn't come to having tuma belaila. The limud is from the fact that this comes right before the pasuk of kiyah b'cha. Ish asher lo yator mikre laila. The pasuk goes on to talk about someone who has a mikre laila, someone who sees balkeri sees keri at night and becomes a balkeri. So it's telling us avoid hirurim so that you don't become a balkeri at night. The Tosus understands that this is a real bona fide drasha. It is not only an asmachta. And his raya is from Gemara and Ksubas Daf Mem Vav. Tosus Rabbeinu Elchanan and Tosus Shans. Explain the raya that there's a machlokus over there whether the pasuk is an ashara for the isra of motzi shemra, because it says the lashon of vinishmarta, meaning on every lav that says the onesh, the pasuk has to, you need another pasuk to tell me the ashara. So it says vinishmarta, and any isra that has either isham or pen or al is always a lo saseh, or the pasuk is needed for the drasha of Pinchas ben Yair not to be maharer biyom and yavalu detuma belayla, like the ashara and just like as far as the ashara is concerned, we view this as a drasha gemura. So too the drasha of Pinchas is considered a drasha gemura, and therefore we view this as a din d'oraisa, that lo yahar adam biyom yoshlo yavali de tuma belayla. The person shouldn't have hirurim during the day if it's going to cause him to have tuma at night. This is an independent issur. There's another issur of Moshe Feinstein points out in the tshuva of lo sasiru achrei einechem, that one should have shmiras einayim. One should not look at things that are sexually explicit in nature, that will give a person, or even not explicit, even implicit, that will give a person a sense of hirurim. Moshe explains that, I think if I recall correctly, Rav Moshe explains in the tshuva that that's the difference between the Isser of Histaklus for a man and the Isser of Histaklus for a woman. You know, the way I always explain it to Talmidim is, if I were to ask you, Svara Denavshe, from your own common sense, would you think that there's an Isser of Histaklus for a woman, and would you think it's the same as it is for a man? So you'd probably say, it can't be right for a woman to be mistakel at inappropriate things. But at the same time, it's not the same as it is for a man. Meaning, right, you'd probably assume that on your own. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, that's what the halacha is, because there are two separate isurim for a man. There's the sasur achrei nechem, and there's the shmarta mikol davara, shaliyavali de tuma belayla, which has to do with becoming a balkari at night. For a woman, the second one doesn't apply. She can't become a balkari. So the isur would only be losasur achrei einechem. So you see that it's a different isur, meaning there are two isurim for the man, only one isur for the woman. So anyway, Mikan Amar Pinchas Ben Yair, based on this, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair teaches us that how to achieve a certain sense of kedusha and tara in one's life. Torah mevila de zihirus. The Torah that a person learns brings them to zihirus, that he'll be careful not to sin. Zihirus mevila de zrizus, and zihirus will bring a person to a sense of zrizus, to want to run to do good things. Zrizus mevila de nikius, that brings a person to total cleansing from all sins. Nikius mevila Yilde Precious. And Nikios, once you're cleansed of all your sins, it will lead a person to a sense of Precious, which means even to be Machmir on those matters that are technically Mutter, but it's just better to stay away from, like extra Chumras. Precious Mivi Yilde Tahara. Precious brings a person to a sense of Tahara, which is a higher level than Nikios. Tahara Mivi Yilde Gersos issues over here. Kedusha. Kedusha Mivi Yilde Anava. And Kedusha brings a person to Anava. Anava Mivi Yilde Yiras Chet. Anava brings a person to Yiras Chet because he's afraid of violating any Averis. Yiras Chet Mivi Yilde Chasidus. And that leads a person to Chasidus. Chasidus Mivi Yilde Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh Mivi Yilde Tchias HaMesim. And Ruach HaKodesh ultimately will bring a person to Tchias HaMesim. So Chasidus Gedolah Mikulan. So the Braisa continues, the Mid of Chasidus is the most Chashuv of all of them. Shneemar Azdi Bartov Chazon Lechasidecha. That Hashem speaks only to his Chasidim. So from the fact that it doesn't say Lireecha, La'anavecha, right, it doesn't say to those who fear you, to the humble ones, Chasidim. So you see that the Chasidus is the highest Madrega. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says that the Chasidus is the highest Madrega. Pligad Rabbi Shoban Levi is against Rabbi Shoban Levi. Tomer Rabbi Shoban Levi, Rabbi Shoban Levi says, Anova Gedola Mikulan, the greatest Midah is Anova. Shem Ruach Elokim Alai Ya'an Mashach Hashem Osi Levaser Anovim. That the Navi Yeshayahu is saying that the words of Nechama on the conclusion of Galus and the Geula that's going to come is not coming straight from him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed him to tell this to the Anovim. Chasidim Lo Ne'amar El Anovim. That this message is not meant to be delivered to the Chasidim, but to the Anovim. L'madosh Anov G'dol Mikulot. So you see from there that Anova is the greatest of all the Midos. It seems that most of the Musar Svarim assume that way, that Anova is the greatest of all the Midos. Right? In Orchos Tzadikim, the first Shar is Shar HaAnova. The assumption is that Anivos is the foundation of all other Midos Tovos. And that if a person doesn't have Anivos, the other Midos Tovos typically will not be so solid. And that's why the greatest people in our history were always also the most humble people in our history. The most impactful people were the most humble people. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam. Rabbi Danasi gave us the Mishnah, was Hey Anav, Hey Chasi, was such an Anav. It seems to be the trend. Ein Mochon Nahen. I remember Rav Shachter telling us, if you ever met Rav Moshe Feinstein, he said his anivus was, it wasn't like a normal anivus. He said it was like mugzam. It was like almost like an exaggeration of what a human being is capable in terms of anivus. It was just an unusual level of anivus. That's the way the greats are. So ein mochun lahem, you're not allowed to sell them that which is mechuba lekarka, but you're allowed to sell them a tree after you cut it down, according to the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can even sell them a tree al menas to cut it down. So Tan Rabban and Mochna Hem Elon, you're allowed to sell them a tree al menas lakut, the kotates to Rabbi Yehuda, and then with the condition to cut it down, and then he'll cut it down according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir Omer ein Mochna Hem elok tzutza, and Rameir says no, you're only allowed to sell it. You cannot trust that he's going to do it later. You can only sell it to him if it's already cut down. Similarly, shachas, when it comes to animal fodder, al menas ligzo, so it's still attached to the ground, you could sell it to him al menas to harvest it, the gozes, the Rabbi Yehuda, and then he'll harvest it on his own. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Remeir Omer, Ein Mochun Lahen, Ela Gezuza. No, you cannot trust him. You can only sell it when it's already Gezuza. Kama, similarly, standing grain, al menas to Rabbi Yehuda. You could sell it to him al menas for him to harvest it, and then he can do so. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Remeir Omer, Ein Mochun Ela Ketzura. No, you can only sell it already harvested. So why do I need all three of these machlokos? Utricha. We need all three of these machloks. Diashmi inon ilan. If it only would have told me about the tree, this machloks Rameir Rabbi Yehuda, I would say Bahakam Rameir. That's where Rameir says that you're not allowed to sell it, even on the condition that he's going to cut it down, kivan de lo pasit, since the guy loses nothing by leaving it attached to the ground, because it will just continue to grow. Mashile, so he'll delay, he'll tarry. He's not going to want to rush to cut it down. Aval hai, but standing grain, the chimashi lo pasit, where the longer you leave it attached to the ground, the worse it's going to get. Once it's fully grown, it's going to get ruined if it stays attached to the ground. Same about the Rabbi Yehuda. I would think Rabbi Meir would agree to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to sell it with a condition that he harvested. V'yashmin bani tarti, and if it only would have told me about the grain and the tree, there's room to say that it's dafka in those cases that Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Tanai works to have him cut it down later. Mishum delo yadia shivchayu, because it's not clear what improvement is going to come by leaving it attached to the ground, because by the tree you don't see it improving in front of your eyes because it's such a incremental improvement, and by the standing grain not only is there no shevach but it actually gets worse the longer it stays. Aval shachas tiyadiyah shevchayu, but when it comes to the shachas that where you see the shevach, it's obvious to you that it's becoming better when it stays attached to the ground. I think that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rameir that it's a bad idea to sell it to him on the condition that he's going to harvest it, because he's probably not going to harvest it. V'yashmin b'han, if it only would have told me the case of Shachas, b'akam Rameir, I would say that's where Rameir says that you're not allowed to rely on him. Aval b'hanach, but by the other two, I would think that Rameir agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you can sell it all tonight and just trust that he'll take care of it. Sricha, that's why I need all three machlokos, and Rameir holds his opinion in all three cases, Rabbi Yehuda holds his opinion in all three cases. Now, we had said in the Mishnah back on Yudalid that you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa to a guy. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can you sell a behema gasa al menas that he will shecht it? Meaning, just like you're not allowed to sell mechuber lekarka, but Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to sell mechuber lekarka al menas that he will harvest it. So behema al menas lishchot mahu. What if you sell a behema al menas that he's going to shecht it? Ha, sometime in my shari, when it comes to selling a guy that which is mechuber al menas that he will be kotzeitz, why is it shari Rabbi Yehuda? Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda was matirit to lav berushus hekaimi? Because the karka is not in the rishus of the guy after you sell it to him. It's in the rishus of the Jew, because you only sold him the tree. You still own the land. So lo matzimashilu. So he doesn't have the option of leaving it there, because it's on your property. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda allows making such a deal. Aval behema kiven de berushus say dovid chavim kaima mashila. But if you sell him a behema, he's got the behema. You can't trust that he's going to shecht it right away. He'll do whatever he wants. He'll leave it around for as long as he wants. Odil maloshna. Or maybe we should not distinguish, and we should say that just like Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sell trees and things like grain that's still attached to the ground, relying on him to be kotzeit soon after, you could also sell a behema gasa, relying on him to be shochet soon after. So Tashma says, Mer will bring a raya. Titania behema almanas lishchot v'shochet divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei Roman in Rochelo elishchuta. That this exact same machlokas, where Rabbi Yehuda maintains his opinion, Ramei maintains his opinion, is true of a behema almanas lishchot as well. That Rabbi Yehuda says, you may sell an that he's going to shecht it, and trust that in fact he will shecht it. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful evening.